Let's open up our Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. And just to prove to you that the Bible is more relevant than it ever has been today, going back to the last verse of chapter 8, of course, it does mention about the Super Bowl today. It says that there's an eagle flying halfway through the air.
Shot down by the Patriots.
And that's enough. All right, we are in chapter 9 this morning of Revelation. Now, I had so many of you talk to me after the service last week and really getting an appreciation for the reality of what's coming during the Great Tribulation. You know, sometimes we read this stuff and it runs off our back like water off a duck, but not this time. And today is no different. As we open up chapter 9, the title of the message this morning is Hell Unleashed from the Bottomless Pit. I must say, this passage this week affected me more than anything that I've taught in Revelation so far. I've taught this before, but I haven't caught the reality of it like I did this week. And I'm just trying to communicate to you what it did to me in preparing this week. At times, I almost dreaded getting back to it because I begin to taste the stark reality of what's going to happen. And it was hard to study. In a way, it's hard to preach because I think this is one of the most heaviest set of verses in the book of Revelation. You know, as we look at this, hell unleashed from the bottomless pit, we need to realize that the world that we're living in today is nothing but a theater for a cosmic war that's been going on ever since Adam and Eve were put here. Satan has attacked the human race over and over again. He has deceived us. He deceived us in the Garden of Eden, and the results were sin and death, which perpetuated all the way to the present. We experience sin and death because of that cosmic battle way back in Genesis. And after that battle, God promised to send a Savior that would crush Satan in the head with a fatal blow. Remember that? He'll strike you in the heel and you will strike him on the head. And then Satan countered that by sending a whole group of demonic beings to come on the earth to cohabitate with women in Genesis to form a superhuman race so that the Savior couldn't save the people ultimately because they would have been part angel. And there's no saving grace for angels. Amen? Amen. Any angel that ever fell from heaven is never going to get the grace that we get. So God, in turn, in the cosmic battle that's been going on, brought a flood, and that's why he wiped out the entire population of the earth for that very reason, except for one family. And we all know Noah and his family were saved. And the cosmic war that we're talking about goes on throughout the entire Old Testament and into the New Testament, and we know that church history is full of satanic warfare for Christians and Jews alike, which are persecuted and put to death because of their faith. You know, we know it was to such extent in the early church in that first 60 years after Jesus left, that Rome got to the point with such incredible persecution that they would take Christians and they would hang them on crosses along the roadside, soak them in oil, and light them up to light the roads in Rome. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about cosmic warfare. We know that 7 million Jews were put to death in World War II, and what many people don't know is there were many Christians that were put to death also. And today, this cosmic battle is raging. It didn't go away. It's greater than it's ever been before. Christians are being persecuted all over the globe. Really, we're kind of in a little cushy condition here in the United States. But what about Sudan? Look, I heard about Sudan on the news again this week. They're just killing each other off. But it's not just Sudan. It's Egypt. It's Russia. It's China. It's Iran. It's all over in the world. And even in the United States, there's an all-out assault as there's a movement in this country to turn away from God, country, family, and law and order. Can I get an amen? Amen. Do you see it? You'd have to be blind not to watch what's going on a weekly basis. And you know what? Throughout history, this always ends up the same way. It starts off with an assault on our values, and it ends up with an assault on us. So, you know, Satan's main business is to blind the minds of non-believers so that they'll reject the gospel. That's his one goal. And every bit as important to Satan is the attack on the church to discourage, depress, and overwhelm believers with temptation to try and make them powerless in the world. So, in the future, Satan is going to launch a deadly assault on the human race. It's going to be done in the second half of the tribulation, and it is going to be set off by the fifth trumpet, which we're going to study today. You know, while we looked at the first four trumpet judgments, practically destroying the earth, the last three trumpet judgments are going to be far worse. And with the close of chapter 8, we know that an eagle flew in mid-heaven, given a dire warning saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, for the next judgments are about ready to be released," and actually gave people a chance to repent before it was unleashed. Now that's the God I know. So this morning, because of the importance in this release of a whole new satanic realm on earth, we're only going to be looking at one trumpet judgment today. And so as we open up the fifth trumpet, we're going to be looking at a satanic attack on the world. First thing we're going to look at is Satan is kicked out of heaven and he opens up the bottomless pit. Revelations 9 verse 1. It says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him." So we know that John has been given the privy to watch judgment fall from the sky. Remember last week, the first thing he saw was a firestorm come out of the sky. And the second thing he saw was a great asteroid coming out of the sky and falling into the sea. The third thing he saw was a comet coming out of the sky and landing on Earth and poisoning a third of the water on Earth. But this wasn't a physical object like a falling star. This was a satanic being that was thrown from the heavenlies. Now, this judgment starts off giving an account of Satan himself being thrown to the earth and kicked out of heaven. This was prophesied 3,000 years ago by Isaiah the prophet in chapter 14. Here's what the prophet said. He said, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you're cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol or hell, to the lowest depths of the pit.'" Jesus prophesied about this section here. In Luke 10, he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And we get a detailed account of how this went down in Revelation chapter 12. Just listen to this. This is so heavy. It says, "And war broke out in heaven." Sometimes we think heaven is just a place where God is. And yet if we read the Bible, We see Satan's been up there with all kinds of demonic activity condemning us on a daily basis. That's what he's doing there before the throne of God. And you know what? It finally got to a point where you hear so much bad mouthing, you've had enough. And that's what God did. He'd had enough once and for all. And that's why war broke out in heaven. It says Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So now Satan's operation is going to be limited to the earth at this point. So he pulls out all the stops and gathers demons from heaven, demons that were already on earth doing his bidding, and a special demonic realm who were incarcerated or locked up in the pit. Now, the Bible does talk about these monster demons that are locked up in the pit. 2 Peter gives us an account, and Peter says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned," and what Peter is talking about here, if you get the context, is he's talking about the angels that sinned in Genesis when they cohabited with women, like we mentioned a little bit earlier. He says, "If God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Then we go to the book of Jude to get a little more information on who's down there in the pit. It says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain," in other words, who tried to break into the human race by cohabiting with women, "and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he's reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness for the judgment of the great day." These are bad hombres in the pit. So these angels were sexually perverted, leaving their own domain and having sex with perverted women on earth. It's a whole study in itself that we may do for another time, but you're just going to have to take that as a truth from Genesis. So these angels that were cast into the pit are some of the most evil, vile, and perverted beings that ever roamed the earth. Jude 1:7 gives us a parallel here. He says, "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So Jude is reminding us that in Sodom and in the Sodom and Gomorrah incident, the entire town, if you read the text, it says the entire town, every boy, every man, had become a homosexual, and they wanted the angels who were visiting Lot to be released so that they could take advantage of them sexually. So this is what we're dealing with here. So we can only imagine the evil and the perversion that's been simmering in hell, or what we call the pit here, which is the center of the earth, for 2,000 years or more. So Satan's thrown out of heaven. He's given the key to this satanic prison. And in verse 2, he shows himself to be the traitor that he really is to all mankind. It's interesting, John Phillips, a commentator, I thought had some pretty important words to say about this verse. He says, "Picture what the world would be like if we were to open the doors of all the penitentiaries on earth and set free the world's most vicious and violent criminals, giving them full rein to practice their infamies upon mankind." He says, "Something worse than that lies in store for the world. Satan, cast out of heaven, is now permitted to summon to his aid the most diabolical fiends in the abyss to act as his agents in bringing mankind to the footstool of the beast." Man, that's powerful, isn't it? It says in verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. So, you know, the description of the opening of the pit here is very graphic, and I challenge you to see that this is not an allegory here. This is just raw reality. This is real smoke coming out from the middle of the earth, where these demonic beings are allowed out, and the smoke covers the sky to such an extent that it's blocking the sun. So the fifth trumpet sounds. Satan's kicked out of heaven, and he opens up the bottomless pit. And second, demonic power to torment people is unleashed. Verse 3 says, then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. So John's use of the term here, locust, is a metaphor. These weren't really grasshoppers. We're gonna find that out. They weren't normal locusts. These were demonic beings coming out of the pit. Now, we know that locusts gather in swarms, and that's what John's point is here. The worst locust plague ever recorded in the world was between the years 1951 and 1952 in the Middle East, and it said that there were literally hundreds of thousands of miles that were completely denuded and destroyed. So we're talking about billions of these things, demonic powers. So these evil forces are going to be unimaginable. They'll be coming out in such number that nobody is going to be able to count them. This number of satanic inmates, because that's really what we're talking about here, is going to be so large that they're going to be able to spread over the entire globe. Remember everything that we've been looking at so far in Revelations, the difference between this judgment and every other judgment that's happened on the world, everything's global now, and including this satanic outbreak. This is billions of demonic beings being spread out all over the world. No one is going to be able to escape unless they have got the mark of God himself on their forehead. This judgment isn't an assault on the earth like the first three judgments were. This is an assault on the people who hate Jesus Christ and hate the things of God. They have made Satan their God through the Antichrist, so they are going to get a taste of who he really is and the evil torment that they can really cause. If these satanic beings had their way, they probably would have killed off the entire population of the world. But God doesn't allow it. Verse 4 goes on, it says, they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree. Again, this shows that these aren't live locusts, because that's all that locusts eat, is green vegetation. It also shows us that the time has elapsed since the first trumpet judgment. Remember when we talked about the firestorm that came down from heaven and burned up all the grass all over the earth? Some time has lapsed because the vegetation has had a chance to come back, and these demons aren't allowed to touch it. These demons cannot hurt the land. They can only hurt man. And verse 4 goes on, it says, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So God and his mercy is not going to allow true believers to be attacked. And it's not just 144,000 Jews that we read about a couple weeks ago that have the mark of God on their head. It's also Gentiles. Towards the end of Revelation, in chapter 22, we see that there's other people that have this mark on their head besides 144,000. Chapter 22, verse 3 says, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They'll see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So God's got some protection, not only for those 144,000 Jews that are going to be serving him, he's got some protection for those people that have received Jesus Christ. So there's going to be like this special reprieve for all believers during this satanic attack. But you know what? Even the people that are attacked are going to receive a certain amount of grace, and that these demons are not going to be able to take their lives. Verse 5 goes on and says, they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. I don't know about you, but I've taught this passage before, and I've read this passage many times. And, you know, I think I was a little flippant about it, because I just went, ouch. You know, I've never been stung by a scorpion, but I watched my aunt get stung by a scorpion. Oh, we were in the basement one morning, and she's a seamstress, and she was making some shirts. And just as she was cutting a sleeve for a shirt, a scorpion got on her hand, and it went up her arm, and it stung her 7 times up her arm. She just screamed. This is going to be a new satanic toxin not known to man. The best way John can describe it is by saying it's like the sting of a scorpion. You know, scorpions are horribly painful. And did you know that there are 5 species of scorpions that can kill you? There's a lot of species. And others can send you into severe convulsions and paralysis. So we know every population dreads scorpions. But even the pain from the bite of a scorpion only lasts 3 to 4 days. The pain from these satanic toxins are going to last 5 months and are going to be far worse than anything a scorpion could inflict. Verse 6 says, and in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They'll long to die, and death flees from them. Now, I've had so many people come to me over this passage and go, Steve, I don't really get this. What is going to happen here? They're not going to be able to commit suicide, so are they going to jump out 10-story buildings and flop on the pavement and stand up and go, wow? I don't think so. You know, the more I read this, the more I begin to realize, I think what's going on here, first of all, we know these are satanic beings, right? And we know they're attacking non-Christians, right? There's billions of them. I believe there's one demon here for every non-Christian on earth. Every non-Christian is going to receive their own demon. That's what I see going on here. And the more I thought about it, the more I started praying about it, I go, oh man, I think I know what's going on here. The whole time, every time I read this passage before, what I thought is they get stung once and the pain lasts for 5 months. I'm not seeing it that way anymore. I'm seeing that these are demonic beings that hop on you, possess you, and torture you for 5 months. And it's not that you're going to jump off a 10-story building and flop on the pavement and get up again. I really don't think that's going to happen. You ever seen anybody in depression before be so lethargic that they just can't do anything? You know, the Bible tells us that there's demons that can paralyze people. And I really believe that what's going to go on here, each one of these demons is going to be assigned to a person, and they're going to be on them, and they're going to be inflicting this pain over and over and over nonstop for 5 months. Oh, they'll be able to eat and sleep. but they're not going to be able to kill themselves because they'll be under such satanic bondage every time they wish they could get a knife and do themselves in. They'll be paralyzed. They won't be able to. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is so much worse than anything I ever imagined before. I just can't imagine the entire world's population being subjected to this. So that fifth trumpet sounds, Satan's kicked out of heaven. He opens the bottomless pit. Demonic power to torment man is unleashed, and then the demonic appearance is unveiled. Verse 7 says, the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battles. And you got to understand who John is and that he's in a first century frame of mind. They don't have jets. They don't have tanks. And they don't have things like that. Their only thought of battle and war and overtaking and overcoming is horses. Horses was the greatest thing they had to overpower people in war. So the satanic beings were like war horses, so they were defiant. They're powerful. They're ready for battle. They're pawing at the ground and charging forward to inflict pain. That's what John is describing here. And he says, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold. So if you go to the Greek with this word crown in this sentence, there's two kinds of crown, one for like a king. The other that's being talked about here is a word called stephanoi. And these aren't crowns for kings. These are crowns for victors. So you see what John's trying to describe here. These demonic beings are going to be invincible as victors. Nothing is going to be able to stop them. They are literally going to conquer the entire earth. No one will have a weapon that'll harm them. And there's going to be no cure for the incredible pain that they're going to be inflicting. And he says that their faces were like the faces of men. Having faces like men means that these things are not grasshoppers. No grasshopper. These are going to be rational beings, not insects. And it said that they had hair like the hair of women. This is interesting. This description of having hair like women may well be describing some sort of seductiveness. The Bible says that the beauty of a woman is her hair, which she may decorate to become more alluring. And these demonic beasts will be luring people to their doom. It says, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. So these demonic beings are going to be far more vicious than anything deadly like a lion tearing their victims apart. And it says that they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. These demons are going to be protected with supernatural powers from Satan himself. And no one is going to be able to resist them. No one is going to be able to stop them. And it says the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. Now, I just want you to think for a minute. I don't know where the hole coming out of the earth is going to be because it doesn't tell us. But somewhere on this earth, all hell is going to come out of some hole somewhere. And the incredible amount of demonic power that's going to come out of the pit is going to be thunderously loud as it spreads throughout the entire earth. The demonic attack is going to be by air. No one's going to be able to get away. There'll be nowhere to run. And the sheer amount in numbers is going to envelop the entire globe. Verse 10 says, they have tails like scorpions and stings in their tails as their power to hurt men for 5 months. So, you know, the nature of this infliction of pain lasting for 5 months is not described. It doesn't describe every detail of how this happens, is what I'm trying to say. But we can get a little help from the Bible where it's going to give us a hint of what's going on here. Demonic beings have done similar things to people in the past. Jesus met two demoniacs that were in such bondage that it says that they were living day and night in a graveyard. Now I ask you, they were also naked. Who here would like to live 24/7 naked in a graveyard? Nobody. Why didn't they just walk away? It's what we're talking about here. Those two demoniacs couldn't walk away. They were in bondage in the graveyard and embarrassed being naked. And these people are not going to be able to kill themselves. They're going to be in such satanic bondage that they're just going to be stuck in all this pain. In Matthew 8:28, it says they came to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, and there met two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass by. So even in the Gospels, we see how demons can be devastating to people who end up being possessed. Another example is a boy that was demon-possessed that was brought to Jesus in Mark 9. It says, then they brought the boy to Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. In other words, when the boy saw Jesus and the demon saw Jesus, the demon convulsed the boy. This is interesting to me because this is the same thing that's happening here in Revelation. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Now, I want you to be listening for what kind of bondage we got going on here. And there's no control for the person who's demon-possessed. And often, he has thrown him into the fire. No kid wants to be thrown in a fire. And into the waters to destroy him. He says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And of course, Jesus casts those demons out. So we already know that demons can do all kinds of physical torture to those who are caught up in his allurement. That's what's happening here in Revelations. In this case, people will be in this poisonous, toxic misery in pain for 5 months. And many will want to commit suicide, but the demonic powers will be in such power over them, they won't be able to move to do it. Like I said, the more I thought about this week, I just had horrible thoughts coming to my mind. That's why I had such a hard time studying this week, as I thought about a demonic being oppressing somebody and then just stinging them with this torturous, poisonous toxin on and on and on and no way out, and people wishing to God they could kill themselves and nobody's able to do it. This is just hard to imagine. But after 5 months, God will force these demonic beings to relent, and I believe that there's going to be some of those demon-possessed people that are released that are going to receive Christ. Man, what a visual teaching aid to help you receive Christ. I'm telling you, I would be so ready. I would give up. Look, whatever it takes, I'm coming to Jesus, man. So the fifth trumpet sounds. Satan's kicked out of heaven. He opens up the bottomless pit. Demonic power to torment men is released. Their demonic appearance is revealed. And the king of the demonic death squad is revealed. Verse 11 says, they have as king over them the angel of the abyss. The abyss is the pit. It's temporary hell. We know permanent hell is going to be the lake of fire. But until the great white throne judgment, everybody that goes to hell is in the abyss or the pit right now. So there's some commentators that have thought that this angel of the abyss was Satan, but I don't think so. Satan is never seen as being over the abyss. He's known as being over the heavenlies. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places," not the abyss. The devil is not associated with abyss in the Bible until he's thrown in it at the end of the Great Tribulation. That's the only connection that he has to the abyss in the Bible. So the name of this monster coming out of the pit in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. Both of these names, whether Greek or Hebrew, mean destroyer, and Abaddon is also used in the Old Testament to describe the place of eternal punishment. So this king of demons name further enhances his connection to the abyss. And I think in our modern speech today, he'd probably be known as King of the Demonic Death Squad. At least I like that name for him. So verse 12 says, "The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these." So the fifth trumpet sounded. Satan's kicked out of heaven once and for all. He's given the key to the bottomless pit. Demonic powers to torment people are unleashed over the entire earth. Their demonic appearance is revealed. And then we see who the king of the bottomless pit is.